says Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
To learn more about our programs and to donate, visit us online at carsforkids.com. Remember, that's Cars with a K. Pickup is quick and easy. You'll also get a vacation voucher and maximum tax deduction.
1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. K-A-R-S, Cars for Kids. 1-877-CARS-FOR-KIDS. Donate your car today.
Also accepting boats, motorcycles, RVs, and real estate donations.
AM 570 KLAC, 98.7 KYSR, HD2.
Los Angeles.
Available anywhere using the iHeartRadio app. AM 570 LA Sports.
I want to hear it, man. I'm desperate to hear it.
This is the Petros and Money Show.
Best case scenario.
Mad Money Smith.
Worst case scenario.
Petros Papadakis.
What am I doing here? I'm humiliated.
Available on the iHeartRadio app.
Online at am570lasports.com.
This is Petros and Money.
Real American, fight for the rights of every man. I am a real American, fight for what's right, fight for your life.
Call me a fool.
Come on, Magdaleno. You can't do this.
You gotta take a stand. Stop this. Have to hide.
What is this? Wait a minute. What is it?
He ain't gonna stop. I'm a real
American. No. Would you stop this? We gotta come up with something better.
We've been caught with our hands down yet again.
Come on, please. Seriously, Magdaleno.
I am a real American.
We gotta compromise.
We can't have a pro-American 80s montage song start our show.
At least Hart's on fire.
Because Glenn Nocino starts the show at 3 o'clock. That's fine.
Sounds like you're anti-America, man.
Turn it down, please.
Yes, that's me.
Just turn it off and down so we can discuss this because people don't know what you're doing.
I'm not wearing an American flag lapel pin. Clearly, I'm anti-America.
The whole world is not an inside joke, okay?
Gee.
David Magdaleno is filling in on our board. He happens to be the head engineer here at the station.
He has a jingle, but I'm not plugged in.
Working on all the Dodger games. Dave Magdaleno is filling in. He's also very passionate about lots of political issues, one of which is our intro song, which is about the border. From the 1997 album Clandestino by Manu Chao, it is the title track. It is about crossing the border clandestinely. And Magdaleno's got a real problem with that. And he will not play our intro song as long as he's filling in. For the next, and it is kind of an impasse that we've reached, and it's unfortunate.
It can't be an impasse. It can't.
Well, this is the problem, Matt.
It can't be an impasse. It's the song that plays with an intro on top of it.
It's
when
a
you
terrible
hit
song.
It. I don't care
it
if it's the worst
yesterday.
Song in the history of the world.
It didn't
play.
It's
time to change things up.
It did not play yesterday.
Yeah, and everyone was excited about it.
No, they most definitely weren't, Magdaleno. They most definitely were not excited.
I have some reaction if you'd like, but there's a lot of people that aren't happy because it didn't play. There are some that like Magdaleno's sabotaging nature.
He is a saboteur.
He is.
Saboteur in our ranks.
It is it's kind of an interesting thing, but we can't, like, if Ronnie did this to me and was, like, all standoffish and weird at the beginning of the show, Matt and I would freak out. Like, Matt would go full producer when we first started working together. Like, Matt would lose it if Ronnie did this to us, which is not fair.
I'm sorry, boss, but we've got to fire Ronnie.
It's not fair to Ronnie, but Magdaleno comes here with this insolence, and we don't push back. Like, it never played yesterday.
I don't crack easy under pressure.
And that's not cool.
You're lucky I'm going to play your C-Lab tomorrow, fool.
That's... Your job is not to decide what gets played and what doesn't get played. It's just to play it.
Here is a...
That's what you do.
Here's
you
a text
play it.
On the secret text also line that says F Magdaleno.
Sold out.
Why you got
Chevy?
Russian bots texting you, folks?
Bring Clandestino back. What's this?
I'm sure another song about America.
Stop censoring Magdaleno. Post hour one and hour four on the podcast. Don't tread on us. That's a pro Magdaleno.
Oh, yeah.
This is proud to be an American.
I really...
It's a sports talk show.
We've got to do it better songs than these. Like, I'm all for your protest. I mean, I'm not, but we need to do 4 hours of radio without me being, like, burnt with anger. And I do get kind of angry when you do this. Just
this
being
should fill
dead
you
honest.
With joy.
This, no, this doesn't
you?
Bring me joy. This brings me great anger. Great anger. And we've got to be here till 7
if you can
because the Clippers
trivia,
have decided to
I'll
take the week off.
There
the Clippers are like, hey, what should we do at the start of 2020? I don't know, boss. What do you say we just take a week off? I know it's the middle of the NBA season, and we're off from April until October anyway, but let's just take a week off. So we've got these four-hour shows, which we love.
Look at this. F that Tio Tomas. F Magdaleno. Deport Magdaleno. That was funny
deport
one day, but
here?
F this Trump supporter. Love how much this pisses Matt off, too.
All you got to do is play Gladys Dato.
Nothing against the Hulkster, but WTF, give me Manu Chao. What about playing another Manu Chao song? Can we compromise on like another Manu Chao song just to start the show for the next couple days so we can get out of the week cleanly?
A couple of days. We got one more day.
Okay. Well, you have to play one today so we can actually start the show. Because technically, if you'd listen, we never really started the show yesterday because we never played Clandestino.
Well, and when you don't play Clandestino, you don't play the intro to the show.
And the show never starts.
The Petros and Money Show. You know, the best case, worst case.
Right, the whole thing.
The whole thing. It's the intro to the show. It's what, again, it is Pavlov's dogs.
Doesn't it have...
People get excited when they hear it knowing, oh, I've got 4 hours to be entertained. I'm so happy. My day has just taken a turn for the better.
All right, we'll deal with this.
This is a bad song, too. This guy's terrible.
Okay. Manu Chao is sweet.
The man who just played... Proud to be an American, and I'm a real American, is not allowed to have any judgment about what is a good
this.
And what is not a good song.
Hey, Me Gustas 2 is a good song.
You just like it because you can't understand it. You're like, oh, yeah.
That's not true.
I wish I couldn't understand I'm proud to be an American. I'd be a lot happier if I
terrible.
Could.
He's over here smiling.
Senor Cates is not happy.
What is Senor Cates mad about? He's got nothing to be mad about.
He's very upset. He's a producer. He runs a tight ship. He's got to right, tear right. up his rundown.
All right.
Cut the music. Cut the music. I got something to play.
Wait, what?
I got something to play. Dave, my update.
Guys, we can't do this the whole day.
What do we have? Breaking news?
All right. Here we go.
Let's
go.
We're
starting the show. Kate.
Damn it. We're starting the show.
Oh, yeah,
look, he turned it off. Look, you see that?
Way to go, Cates.
He turned it off right away.
This Blue State Cates over here.
Wait a minute, guys. Look it. We can't have this kind of censorship. We appreciate your opinion, Magdaleno. Yeah.
There we go. We can start the show.
Now, tomorrow, Magdaleno, come up with something.
Laugh at the law.
Tomorrow, come up
with... That's fine. Guess what? It's not illegal to sing a song about laughing at the law. It's okay.
Dave, tomorrow, I think we can come up with a compromise that is not proud to be an American. Or amber is the color of your energy.
That was the best one, by the way.
Five or six people texted me that.
Like, I got something.
Good morning, Petros. Amber is the color of your energy. I'm like, F you, man.
Hey, Poo, don't worry. I got something.
Reason is nothing less than the guardian of love. And I think we've been very reasonable.
Strong it out,
it's all love here on BMS.
Exactly right.
Crunchy Groove Thursday, Matt.
We got Magdaleno for the next 3 hours in 52 minutes because it's a four-hour show on a Crunchy Groove Thursday. No crickets.
No, we're here.
Crunchy.
Now, we did have an adjustment to our original schedule. And if you had heard the promo, which never played, you could be disappointed.
But because you never heard the promo, and because we never sold it yesterday...
We should never even bring it up.
Nobody does this.
But we do want to attack...
Nobody does this.
We like to attack Steve Brenner.
We do, because regularly he books folks that don't show up and cancel on us.
He walks us off the plank.
He walked us... We didn't even get walked off the plank. We stood in a laundry tub. Cement was poured around our feet. It was hardened, and then he threw us off the ship.
Say, what are you fellas doing?
At the last Genesis Open.
Yeah.
We had like 9 guests booked, and none of them showed up except Kevin Na.
And thank God for Kevin Na.
Exactly right. That was a great conversation. Love that guy.
He wasn't even booked. He just came over.
Just rolled over. Felt bad for us.
Felt bad, yeah. Pity. Pity interview.
Diamond Bar's finest, Kevin Na.
We love him.
Love him.
Don Sutton was supposed to join the show, but did not.
And when we were told Don Sutton was supposed to join the show for the first time,
it got sold hard.
We went, Don Sutton?
And Cates was like...
And what did Cates say?
He's great. He's a great talker. He's awesome.
He's a great talker, is what we were told.
He's wonderful.
He's a Braves broadcaster.
He does the stuff with the Braves. Hall of Famer.
He's used to talking.
23 seasons in the major leagues. 16 with the Dodgers.
January 9th.
Numbers retired.
Dodgers have done nothing in free agency. They have done nothing
in
the trade
market. Here's the comparison. What everybody's saying the Dodgers are. They're the Braves of the 90s, right? They haven't won a World Series. Well, he could talk about
that. Well, Don Sutton was supposed to be honored on Saturday night.
And he's a great talker.
And he will be in Beverly Hills with the Lifetime Achievement Award at the 17th annual In the Spirit of the Game Spectacular, honoring the Pro Baseball Scouts Foundation. That's a PBSFonline.com, the Pro Baseball Scouts Foundation. The Scouts, the unsung heroes, other than that Clint Eastwood movie with Amy Adams and Justin Timberlake, the unsung heroes of the baseball
Trouble
world.
Trouble with the Curve?
Yes, Trouble with the Curve. It was a beautiful movie that really talked about scouts and what they go through.
Really spoke to me.
PBSFonline.com. So we were supposed to promote this for Brenner. He was like, guys, would you put on Don Sutton? We're like, yeah, we'll do it, because Cates was like, he's a great talker, really selling it. And then right before Don Sutton was supposed to come on, Cates.
5 minutes.
What happened?
He's under the weather, guys. Under the weather.
Now the flu is making the rounds.
Yeah, believe me.
Okay.
Making the rounds.
And he is old.
But what else?
Would have been nice to get a heads up.
What else has Brenner done to us?
Before 5 minutes. Kenny G. That was the best one. What up, dudes? I got 30 seconds. Keep it walking.
This isn't an FM show, Kenny.
Keep walking, Kenny. Don't need an ID. Don't need, hey, you're listening to the Petros and Money Show. This is Kenny G. That's not what we're looking for. You're good. Go.
That would have been cool, though.
Go do your thing. You're good. That was probably the peak. But I want to say we had how many golfers lined up, Cates, that didn't show up?
At least.
At least over the years, at least eight golfers.
Last year was good, though. Remember, it was raining at Riviera, and we had...
Last year was great. Nolan, we had Nolan Arenado. Finally put us inside.
Well, last year was great because we complained so much.
Whitworth of the Rams came by.
Right.
He did get us Tiger Woods.
And there's that.
Oh, man.
There's that.
Now I feel bad.
2 years ago, us Tiger Woods.
That saved Tiger Woods' career. So they should be thanking us.
We poured the foundation upon which house of redemption was built.
That's right.
Don't you ever forget it. We did our fair share.
Put that first on your list when you have somebody to thank, exactly. Tiger Woods. We do have guests today, though. Don Sutton just is not one of them. We should probably start promoting the guests that are coming on.
It's a good idea.
Not really our nature.
No?
More in our nature to find out that we were told to get here extra early because Don Sutton was tied up and needed to tape the interview.
That's right.
And then right before, as we're just sitting, chopping it up, having a good time with each other.
Which is, you know,
supposed to call.
Should be on air, that kind of great banter. Should be on air.
It should be.
The listeners really miss out.
They really do.
Yeah, it should be on air.
All the stuff we do.
We do have Mick Cronin joining the show.
That's happening.
Who was endorsed heavily by former UCLA player Ryan Hollins
yesterday
on the show in light of the USC-UCLA game on Saturday night. Mick Cronin, brand new UCLA coach, trying to instill some toughness with that soft team. He's going to join us.
Hey, Mick, why's the team got to be so soft?
Why
are they so soft?
And Matt, big coaching movement, a PMS favorite, our old friend Mike Leach is making a move for a long time, Mike Leach.
As a Southern American, you said something that got up underneath my skin.
A lot of things must have gone wrong if you're listening to this for a long time.
A bunch of things must have gone wrong if you're listening to this.
Mike Leach has desired to leave Pullman, Washington. And I'm not trying to pull rank here.
From the moment he arrived?
As Matt has been to Patrida, the fatherland, Greece, since I have. More recently than I have, Matt has been to Greece. I'm not trying to pull travel rank here, but I've been to Pullman at least a dozen times in my lifetime. And the word on the street ever since he started there was Mike Leach has been trying to get out of Pullman ever since he stepped into that wonderful Eastern Washington town. And he's finally... achieved.
I'd like to point out
that elusive goal.
If getting out of Pullman was chore number one on Mike Leach's list of things to do, that you are willing to go to Starkville, Mississippi.
But just think how much closer
in order
it
to
is.
Get out of.
Well,
Pullman.
Yeah, but it's so much closer to his home in Key West.
In proximity, yes. In culture.
I think it froze his nutsack.
Sure.
I think the weather, when they had Minshew.
Southern American, you said something that got up underneath my skin.
And they had a plateauing Jake Browning. going in to play the Apple Cup in Pullman, and here's their moment, and they're going to go to the title game if they can beat them and take on Utah, and Mike Leach is going to the Rose Bowl. Utah's got their quarterback and running back hurt.
Utah!
And there is whiteout conditions. Bruce Feldman literally is in carbonite like Han Solo on the sideline. I just don't think the weather suited his
air. My offense ain't going to work in here.
It's just not going to work.
That's going to work in Starkville.
In this kind of, it'll work in Stark Vegas.
No issues there with weather. I suppose you'll get a torrential rainstorm from time to time in Starkville.
And he was very charming at Washington State. He did things at Washington State that a lot of people had never been able to do before, consistently winning 8-9 games a year. That's not something that they've often done at Washington State.
111.
Anthony Gordon this last year broke a bunch of more records and had a great offense, and they were right up there with all the offense like they always
were relevant.
Like they always are. They were relevant until they gave up that 30-point half to UCLA, I think 35-point lead or something like that. But either way, Mike Leach is going to Mississippi State, so he is now in the SEC West. So instead of hiring Steve Sarkisian, they hired Mike Leach. You would have had Sarkisian and Kiffin in the state of Mississippi, Ole Miss, Mississippi State, Egg Bowl, Pete Carroll's running mates at the Kettle at midnight in Manhattan Beach, Lane Kiffin.
Woo.
And Steve Sarkisian in the state of Mississippi. Now it's Kiffin.
And Leach. Who wins that press conference? Super snarky.
Oh.
Twitter magic Lane Kiffin. Or brilliant, willing to riff Adam Carolla style on any topic you throw at him, Mike Leach.
Incredibly odd.
Very.
Man.
You saw Lane already tweeted at him, right?
I would say as odd as Mike Leach is as awkward as Lane Kiffin is.
Lane's starting to make it work for him. Because I heard Colin Cowherd say, I like Lane Kiffin. We text all the time.
Oh.
So.
Well, then I'm good with Lane.
He's turning it around.
I didn't know that.
Well, I know, Matt.
I wish you would have shared that with me before we came on the air and I took on Lane for being awkward.
Matt and I were here early and Matt's in a real friendly mood. And he likes everybody today, which is good. Matt's in a defensive mood. You're like the Rainmaker. You're going to defend people. You're right. Like Matt Damon and the Rainmaker. What did Lane tweet at Leach?
It was very nice. He said, welcome to this state, old pirate and friend. Hashtag swing your sword. Hashtag egg bowl.
Mm.
Very nice. Wasn't condescending.
Did Leach respond? Eat a bag of D's. Because Leach is also active.
And
on the
Matt,
social media.
Money Smith.
No, but the second reply is hide your wife, Leach. I don't know what that means.
Matt Money Smith has already made some commentary regarding who Washington State is going to hire.
Oh, and, yeah. And when Don Sutton canceled, we got talking.
And if there are any true believers in the USC football program left other than, and I hate to even say his name, Mark Wicker, who is a true believer, like Stan Lee style true believer.
You need to find someone to defend Clay Helton. In the face of adversity.
Yeah, defend you like Mark Wicker defends Clay Helton.
Right. It's a common tweet I like to use.
Commentary. But.
You know what the word is.
Don't say it, Matt.
He was the wide receivers coach there. It's where he cut his coaching teeth with his man Mike Leach. Up, he knows the Palouse. He knows Pullman.
He's
was
just
there for
Texas
two
Tech
seasons.
Transplant again.
He's a Texas Tech quarterback that knows how to run the air
and
raid.
They have an air raid structure, an air raid team, an air raid roster. It's very difficult. You could just ask poor Matt Wells of Utah State, who went down to Texas Tech after Clingsbury, and to clean up Clingsbury's old Klingons all over the place there. And it is not easy to build a football team with a roster that's meant for an air raid. So you might want to just hire another air raid guy, which is why the Graham Harrell blasphemous rumor to many USC fans is out there.
2 years in a row. We got our OC. We feel great about our offense. We just got to fix the defense. We got all this talent. Kingsbury's coming here. People are excited. JT Daniels, this is going to be great. He's the head coach at Arizona. All right, well, and you know what? Good on them for finding Graham Harrell, and it at least worked. It was entertaining to watch Keaton Slovis develop him and all these wide receivers.
At least entertaining, but as I've often said, the Graham Harrell offensive coordinator, USC's offense and what they do offensively doesn't help USC dominate football games, doesn't solve USC's massive problems. However, It was one of the only bright spots in what was a very lackluster, mediocre season, so obviously.
Why not go get him if you're Washington State? You accomplished two things. One, as you said, roster, consistency, someone that knows the system, has proven not only could he do it under Mike Leach for whatever his, I guess, his tasks were that he was to complete while a wide receivers coach at Washington State, but he did it on his own at USC with a whole bunch of players in the first season of running his offense and ran away with all of those, if you care about statistics, statistical measures in the Pac-12. They were number one in
all
of those.
No, it was Washington State was, actually.
Second
yes.
to Washington State.
So, I mean, yeah. And what did Washington State do? Mediocre season, lost their bowl game.
6-7.
Great.
Yeah.
I mean, you're USC. I mean, that's good enough at Washington State. I think
that's
you're
what
right.
I mean. That's what I mean.
But
bring
at
it
USC,
up.
It's not. Now, what does USC do if Graham Harrell, who hasn't even been interviewed, it's just Twitter chatter at this point, what does USC
rampant
do?
Rampant speculation. Irresponsible speculation.
No, it's not. I mean, well, people are talking about Grinch, who was... Now, that would be a guy that knows the Palouse, who was a great D coordinator under Leach, and he's a guy that knows the Palouse. He left for Oklahoma, but he knows the area, and that would be them kind of trying to turn more toward a more traditional kind of, we're going to play a little defense, we're tired of watching this air raid, we're tired of this BS.
It really suits the weather, though.
It doesn't, as I pointed out.
Oh, no.
Mark Helfrich, my old buddy.
Just let go by the Bears as their OC.
Well, he's been talked about for the OC job at Washington because they let go of their guy, Bush Hamden.
And Kellen Moore turned him down to stay in
Kellen
Dallas.
Kellen Moore did turn them down. So that's why they're talking about Helfrich at Washington.
Here's a name for coach. Him. Rocky Long.
But if Rocky didn't want to be the head coach, man, maybe he does want to be the head coach up there. But that is a dramatic, like, if you're a tight end at a JC and Rocky Long gets a Washington State job, don't even call him. Just start driving. By the time you get there, they will need tight ends.
Is that right?
Oh, you're going to need five or six to practice with. That's what Matt Wells said. I said, what's it like coming in there trying to play with a tight end when you had this whole air raid clip? On Kingsbury roster.
Cliff Kingsbury.
And he said, we had to find tight ends. I got five. Because if you don't practice with a tight end, your team is soft. And I said,
okay.
I'll keep that in my pocket, Coach Wells.
Write that one down here.
Appreciate that. Even an air raid team should have a tight end and practice with them so your team's not soft like Charmin.
Like Charmin. You know who's not soft? UCLA Bruins, because Mick Cronin is making him hard.
He's trying to.
Trying his ass off.
He is trying to forge that iron will.
He is a dear friend of the show.
He is, Matt. Mick Cronin will join us in the very next segment as UCLA takes on USC on Saturday night.
Right here, you'll hear it, 7 p.m., AM 570, LA Sports, head coach of the UCLA basketball Bruins. Mick Cronin joins us next. Remember, we got a grand in your hand. You just got the keyword. Be listening right around a quarter after every single hour from 6 a.m. to 6 p.m. You hear the keyword, and after you hear it, you text that keyword to 200-200. Make sure you keep your phone on and near you and answer the call, even if it is a number that is blocked or you don't recognize, because that is how you win and will be notified that you won the $1,000. Again, you just heard the keyword. We'll do it again at 4:15 and 5:15 as we do it 6 to 6 here on AM 570 LA Sports.
Live at the Golden Globes.
Live at the Golden Globes. Big up. Can we
Sin.
Do that all day?
Sin. Hey, yesterday we had Mifada Ryan Hollins on the show, former UCLA basketball star and NBA journeyman, and he had this to say, almost unprompted, about the UCLA basketball team under our next guest.
I got to be honest, brother. I'm a Mick Cronin fan. He's brought a toughness back to UCLA that we hadn't had since, you know, Coach Hallen was there. And we obviously know the off-the-court incidences and things that kind of went on with Coach Hallen of guys not liking him or not necessarily getting along with the way Coach handed himself. But I believe Cronin's going to turn things around.
And so do we. Joining us now on the Chevy Silverado Celebrity Hotline. After a split up north, deep in the Northwest, he went to Pullman. He knows what it's like.
He knows what it's like.
They'll be taking on USC at Pauley Pavilion. Get your tickets now and get over there. It's going to be a lot of fun. The Crosstown Showdown, tip off at 7 right here on AM 570 LA Sports, our own Tim Cates with Bruin Talk afterwards. You could be celebrating a victory. Mick Cronin from Cincinnati all the way here to Los Angeles in his first season at UCLA joins us right now on PMS. What's cracking, Coach? How are you?
How the hell you guys been?
Been good.
You know, the football season, you know, holidays, doing our thing. I mean, how are you, Coach? We haven't spoken in a little while.
I thought you guys forgot about me, man. I've been waiting for my invite, but I get it. Football, you know, it's football season. Bowl games, big game. When's that game anyway? Monday.
Yeah, they waited a little long. I think the last Monday was too soon, and this Monday's too far. And we're running all the NFL games on the station this weekend.
Doubleheader Saturday. Hey, you want to come on once a week? You just tell us.
You can let
we
us
love
know.
You. Yeah, I mean, you set the schedule.
Yeah, you set the tone, Coach, just like you do for this basketball team. You got USC coming up on Saturday. It's a big rivalry game. You're obviously taking a lot of measures to get this team's attention. Where are you at this point? You know, right after the beginning of conference play, which is huge, obviously.
Well, it's just the process, guys. You know, you got young guys, just teaching them how to play winning basketball, you know, how to compete every play. That's I know that's not, you know, the most complicated answer, but that's really the case for us, just trying to figure out how to compete every play mentally and physically. And then from there, you know, trying to develop some guys can score the ball, trying to figure out, you know, how we get the ball in the basket as an offensive team strategically. But it's been a journey for us, and I think you got to go through hard things to come out on the other end of where we're going to end up with this group at some point, hopefully cutting down the net. So, you know, it's just it's not always easy to go through it, but I've done it before. So, I sit here and sound philosophical, but trust me, when we lose, I can't eat, I can't sleep, I'm out, you know, I'm a miserable mess. But, trust me, nobody feels sorry for me, you know. I make as much money as you guys, so I don't get any sympathy.
Oh, yeah.
But it's been fun, you know, we got good guys on the team.
Now, when you say that, you mentioned get philosophical, big picture, you know, what happened following the loss to Fullerton, take the letters off the front of their jersey. How important is it for you to be in the moment in the season and win as many games as you can, because that's what people want to see, and also take that big picture and know that there are lessons that aren't going to be paid off until maybe a year or two down the line? Is that a tough balancing act for you, or is it even a balancing act for you?
No, it's tough. It's when you're a competitor, you know, I just don't think there's any way around it. I think, you know, if you accept losing and it doesn't bother you, you can't be any good as a player or a coach. I don't know how you could, if you can stomach those things and go home and be clear-headed, as my assistant Dan Savino likes to say. You know, I can't. I'm not clear-headed. Everything bothers me. So, but then you got to be mature enough to step back and realize it's part of the process. You know, there is no magic wand to come in and just make everything the way you want it to be. Part of it is the process. You know, you got to teach guys how to win. They got to go through it together. They got to have some pain and suffering. Every team, you know, all good teams go through it. They really do. I mean, look what Virginia went through a couple of years ago, a first-round loss to a 16 seed, and they had to go through that to come out on the other end and win a title the next year. It's part of it. So we got a young team. You just got to keep fighting through it, keep teaching them. They've been great. None of them signed on to deal with what, you know, the crazy Irishman from Cincinnati. So I appreciate them, and they're fighting hard. And they're learning how to try to play hard for 40 minutes and eliminate mistakes. So onward and upward, right? You know, you just got to. I tell you this: we're 8-0 when we give up less than 70. So it's really not rocket science on what we got to do to win a game.
The Mick Cronin is with us, head coach at UCLA. You'll hear the USC-UCLA game right here on your home of Bruins basketball, AM 570 LA Sports, on Saturday, 7 p.m. tip. And I'm asking this as a general question, not specifically to this season, Coach, but, you know, just your experience in college basketball. Because over the last, I'm going to say, maybe 3-5 years in the NBA, we've talked about limiting practice for some guys, load management for some guys, and it's now crept in that it's just different, that players today in the NBA are different than they were 20 years ago when Michael Jordan played all 82 and played 40 minutes a game. Do you experience that in college as long as you've been coaching? Have players that now arrive on a college campus changed to the point that maybe they just aren't ready to practice and play as hard as guys were 10, 15 years ago?
It's a great question. You know, I'm first of all, I would tell you this with the way I see it. You know, once you get to January and school starts back up, our practices, our practice time goes way down. Way down. Because you got to remember, we started, all of us, in late September is when we were allowed to start practice. You know, so we're over 3 months in of really beating on each other extremely hard and grinding it out. So from here on out, now you've got mostly games. And I think we practice really hard, so we cannot go too long. You know, I think you got to practice hard mentally too, you know, where you don't physically kill each other, but you're demanding that everybody's doing everything right, what you're doing in your walkthroughs and your film sessions and paying attention. But I think it's a great question. I think that, you know, that as you get older as a coach, I give advice to younger guys. I talked to a guy I coached against earlier this year in his first year, and he asked me after the game, and he had seven guys. And I said, you better be careful as the year goes on. And, I know you want to change them, but you beat them into the ground, they won't be able to even play on game day. I've been through it. So get a little bit older, you try to get a little bit wiser. Sometimes you realize less is more. Not from an intensity standpoint, just from a time standpoint. You got to stay in shape, but you got to show up. When the bell rings, you got to make sure you got a team that's ready to play hard. And there's different ways to get there. And I think it's a great question because it's definitely changed over time.
The great Mick Cronin joining us right now on the Petros and Money Show. Always a thoughtful conversation about basketball and what's going on with UCLA specifically. Now that conference play has begun, and this is your first go-round in the Pac-12, can you ever really know a conference until you go all the way through it a couple seasons? I mean, how long did it take you to master the Big East?
Yeah, I agree. It's a great another one. You're 100% right. You don't know, you know, just the different venues that you're going to travel wise. I do like Jackie. the Coach Leach ran out of there today. I heard.
You must have saw him at the airport.
He went to another bastion of capitalism. Petros, I really like the travel partners. You know, when I was in the last couple of leagues I've been in, Big East and the American, you're playing one road game at a time, and, you know, you got a 2-hour flight to get there. It's so you get double the road trips because you're coming home after every game. So I think it's much easier to deal with. You can get in a better rhythm. With the travel in the Pac-12, especially if you're traveling the right way. So that part of it I like about the conference. But, yeah, getting to know the league, getting a feel for the league, for me, absolutely, first time around, no doubt about it, it's a learning experience.
Coach, when you get production and in a single game like you got from Jake Kyman, and we had his godfather, Geeter McGee, from the old Laker Network on, and he was singing his praises a couple last week, but when you get something like that, is that something you expect and you're just waiting for it to happen? Where does a performance like that particular, effort against a very good Pac-12 team to start conference play kind of come from? And how do you try to get that to be consistent?
Well, we got to get him open. I got to play him with 1-2. We got to get him open. But, I knew going into the Washington game, we had prep time. They play 2-3 zone 95% of the time, that he was going to have to play and make shots for us. You know, it's an area where we've struggled, and it's an area where he excels, and he can make them 3 or 4 feet behind the line, which is kind of where you got to make them sometimes against Washington zone. But, Jake's a guy that's going to have a great career at UCLA, and he had a great practice today already, it's just a matter of getting him comfortable, getting him confident, and getting our guys to make sure we get him open and look for him when he's in there, because he's in there for offense. You know, it's not like he's in there for his rebound. You know, it's kind of like Petros. You know, he was a power runner. He definitely wasn't in there to dance around in the backfield.
Well,
so
you got to, you know, there was a. You're right, Coach. It was pretty stilted out there.
Everybody saw this.
It was a bit of a trash man out
there. Buster, right?
Yeah,
a trash man. Is that what you were?
Bit of a trash man. Bit of a wedge breaker and a wedge. Both sides.
Both things.
Yeah. Like a garlic bread.
I was happy for Jake.
Well, Coach, what about this SC basketball team that you see? What across town? What about what Andy Enfield's got? Just as far as looking at the film and your very first go round with this, which is kind of an interesting rivalry as far as West Coast basketball goes.
Yeah, you know, excited to be a part of it. You know, first time I've been a part of some very, very heated rivalries back in Cincinnati Xavier and. As an assistant, Louisville, Kentucky. So, you know, just as a coach, it's an honor to get to be a part of great rivalries. Obviously, this one here in L.A. has always been a big one, so excited about it. But I would say, hey, when you talk about USC, three of their four leading scorers are big guys. I don't know if anybody has three big guys that can score and play offense the way SC's three guys were Mobley and Onyeka and Vukosevic. They can all score the ball, so it creates a lot of problems for you because they can pass it as well. And some guys are limited, you know, in basket. There's very few guys can score with both hands, and their guys can all score with both hands. Just really impressed with who those guys are. Andy's done a good job this year with their defense. You know, I think that's probably. Well, their records, what it is, they've been able to hold people under 40% from the field as well. So size is going. There's some guys are going to be a challenge for us. Somehow we're going to have to find a way to combat that and not let them kill us around the rim.
Last thing for me, Coach. You said it earlier in the conversation. You know that it's not rocket science that you hold a team under 70 and you guys are undefeated. Is that something you have to teach? Is that effort? Is that like what would you say? Because it's easy to say it, right? But how do you put that into practice? What is the key to that?
Well, it's effort and execution. You know, for us, we're getting there, and it's a matter of sustaining it. You know, when you watch teams play, like you talk about football, you guys a big game. You know, Clemson and Clemson coming up. Obviously, you know, they haven't, lost in 2 years.
It's been a while.
It's been, you know, and LSU's been building to this point. When you get an older team, you can impose your will on your opponent. And that's a big thing where you can just, your defense gets better as the game goes on. Your team gets better as the game goes on. Those are marks of veteran teams. That don't play tired players because they have quality guys off the bench in whatever sport you're watching. And that's a challenge for us as a younger team. Can we impose our will on another team and hang in there and continue to defend and rebound when you don't score? Because young teams are offensive sensitive. You know, when things don't go well on one end, they tend to lose their intensity on the defensive end. And the veteran teams are able to grind it out. An example I gave my team is like Butler. Last year, Butler was in the NIT. They did not have a great year. Same guys are back this year, and they're ranked fifth or sixth in the country. And nobody can score on them because they can just play harder for longer periods of time than they could last year. So it's a growing it's a growing process. You have to get to where you can get a team that can just impose their will on their opponent over the course of a game. It almost becomes a test of wills. We won that test at Washington, you know, on the road. They came running at us, and I was proud of the guys. We hung in there. So that'll be our challenge, you know, throughout the rest of the Pac-12 season. That'll be the challenge for our basketball team. That, and we got to get consistent scoring from some different guys. Where we've been up and down in that area with some of our players.
The great Mick Cronin, ladies and gentlemen. And speaking of bastions of capitalism, he did not do what so many coaches before him have done and ruined their lives by moving to Manhattan Beach. You took it to the Valley.
Yeah.
Like a real American.
818.
We appreciate you, Coach.
You know, and I want to point out, we're conditioned, Coach. You know, you have to break us of bad habits. We were just kind of used to talking to some coaches in town that really didn't like talking to us and weren't interested. And maybe, you know, we were like, hey, we'll talk to you every week if you want. And then they would just kind of check in once or twice a year. And,
yeah, so, I mean, look.
So whatever you want.
If you want a piece of us, we want a piece of you. You know, I used to work for USC basketball, but those days are over.
In the morning now.
Okay.
The next couple months, we got morning practice, so with the class schedules worked out for us.
Afternoon's wide open for
us. Wide open for us and you.
Door's wide open right now.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, look.
I'm driving to recruit. I'm just going to start calling in.
Yeah. Done.
Well, I used to work at USC basketball, but again, I'm wide open
now. You were fired.
I was. Unceremoniously.
Unceremoniously fired.
And my affiliation, I want you to know, has completely changed.
I'd love to hear that, my man. You know, George Carl told me one time, you're not a real coach until you get fired.
There we go.
You're not a real PA guy until you get fired. Unfortunately, my second job, you know, the phone's not ringing off the hook for another PA gig for me, Coach. And
that's not true. The Wildcats called and you turned them down.
The LA Wildcats?
Yes.
You're right.
Can I ask who they are?
The new XFL team.
New XFL.
And there was some talk of me being a stadium host for the Chargers.
There was that, too.
There was that.
Like a PA guy.
Much like.
So there's options. Coach, green light.
Dude, that sounds like a stadium host. We can shake hands and make money.
Yeah, it feels really good.
Bastion of capitalism.
It's a great feeling.
It's a great country. It's a great country. I appreciate you guys having me on.
Good luck, Coach.
To catch up with
anytime.
You.
There he goes.
All right, guys. We'll catch up soon.
For sure. Good luck on Saturday. There he goes. Head coach at UCLA. And Kate's going to pick that up right away.
Hey, Coach. Hey, Coach. I love you.
Hey, you're the best, Coach.
Great work.
Love that guy. Just saying, you know. Some guys are like, ugh. Well, you know, they're just right outside your office. They're right there on the walkway. Yeah.
Matt's referring to Coach Alford, who did not enjoy our show.
Nope.
Thought we were literally
idiots.
No, no. Actually, I did discuss this when I called the UCLA game right at the end of the year with one of the venerated UCLA SIDs.
Mm-hmm.
And they said he literally thought, and I forgot to tell you this because, you know, the season's the season. Alford, and I didn't even tell you, Kate. Alford literally, and that's like not telling my wife, right? Alford.
My wife!
Literally thought that both of us, if not me completely, were touched. Like special people out there, like
on.
Doing a show. Like he could not figure out, like,
how do these two idiots have a
he
show?
He thought it was a joke. I guess is the best way. Like Joaquin Phoenix's rapping thing, he thought that's how we did sports talk. Like he thought we were completely bonkers.
I can see that.
Well, now it all makes
Indiana,
sense.
Indiana, Southwest Missouri, Iowa, yeah. New Mexico.
Because he kind of did treat us like he was being interviewed by a mental patient. And he was like, really? And full disclosure, I have been a mental patient in the past, but it's been a long time. But he really did keep an arm's distance. And we don't need that with Cronin.
Oh, no.
We don't have to have. We can embrace fully. Full male embrace.
Crazy Irishman screaming and yelling.
Love it.
It's our guy.
And happy birthday, Jimmy Page. Z-O-S-O spells Zotho.
Exactly right.
We'll be right back with more Magdaleno divisiveness.
What up, fool? Big thank you to Mick Cronin. Green light. That door's wide open now. He ever wants to come on. Love Mick Cronin, head basketball coach over there at UCLA.
Great, dear friend of the show.
Friend of the show. 2.5 hours in traffic during the summer tour.
You know, Matt?
To the Buena Park Rockin' Bruce.
It's a little less than a year ago, we were saying Mick Cronin's name a lot here, and he hadn't even been hired. And now look at the relationship we've developed.
Someone here was Mick Cronin all day, all the way from the second that opening arrived at UCLA. I don't remember which one of us it was, though.
Matt Smith?
But again, appropriate, by the way, Magdaleno rocking that Led Zeppelin on the way out, as it was Rockin' Bruise when our friendship was forged on the summer tour. 2.5 hour commute from Westwood in rush hour traffic on a Thursday to do a half hour / 40, maybe 40 minutes of radio in front of the people, shake hands.
300-400 people waiting there for him.
Awesome. And then just got right back in the car and drove back to get some work done. USC, UCLA this weekend. You'll hear it right here at 7 p.m. And remember, we got the doubleheader on Saturday. It will follow the two football games. Vikings 49ers get it started at 1:30 p.m. on AM 570.
Matt, I just got a text that says, give it time. You two bungholes will do something to cause Cronin to think you guys are a couple of loons, just like Alford did.
No. That's no. Alford well, part of that statement's correct. Yes. Eventually, yeah, maybe, everybody comes to hate us.
Eventually.
But.
Not everybody.
Most everybody.
Norm Chow loves us.
He does.
But that was a relationship for me that started with hate.
Yes.
In 2001, Norm Chow tried to ban me from campus.
That was a relationship prior to the radio show. You had a relationship with Norm Chow.
There was a radio show. That's why I got banned from campus.
But you know what I'm saying. Like, you knew Norm.
No.
No.
No, he was new. He was a new coordinator, right. And I was a new broadcaster, and I was banned from campus.
So there you go. That would be the reverse.
We have a few long-standing relationships. Mostly with.
We hope Mick Cronin is a long-standing friendship that we have had, that we are able to have. Don McLean.
My only relationships that don't collapse other than McLean and you and I doing this show for all these years are with Polynesian people.
Favai Favai.
Kennedy Polamalu.
Norm Chow.
Matt, I have some textosos for you. You don't want to get on the bad sides with the Pollies. I'll tell you that right now.
Most definitely no. And maybe we'll get a new one in town come April.
A new Polly.
Come the end of April.
Tua Tagovailoa. Well, we just sent one out.
In the NFL
we
draft.
Just sent DJ Uiagalelei back.
We did. Look, they get one in the South. We should get one from the South back to the West. That's the way this thing works.
Congratulations, DJ, by the way, Matt, on having his first day of school today. Way to go, DJ Uiagalelei.
Congratulations. Enjoy Clemson.
You have ruined the Dan Patrick show for me, Matt. I can't listen without seeing the baby bird reference, which was hilariously spot on.
That was your reference. I just pointed out that I told the tale that I heard them tell me through the speakers in my automobile.
You but then you talked Jeopardy.
I talked.
I mean, you talked trivia.
I mentioned,
it was a big trivia day yesterday.
I mentioned that the guys in the studio said, tell me more, Dan, tell me more. And then you said they're like baby birds.
They are, needing to be fed the regurgitated salmon.
Exactly right, man.
Magdaleno's un-American activities are embarrassing. Tell him to leave his Gestapo attitudes at home. Dave Magdaleno's trying to kind of censor the show because he has some very... what I think a lot of people would consider extreme political views.
Police state. It runs contrary to what he wants us to believe is freedom.
Well, here's what. But we'll look at this.
It's a police state we're living in.
On the Chevy Secret Textoso line. No sex.
Sold out to Chevy.
Finally, a guy with some balls who loves his country. Good job, Magdaleno. Yeah.
He doesn't love his country. It runs contrary to everything this country stands for. Him saying he won't play a song.
Every
play
day
the song.
You, guys
you can
o'clock.
Disapprove of it. All you have to do is say, I disapprove of this.
I disapprove
but because
of
we live in this fine country, I will play it.
Here are two.
That's all.
Here are two headed right towards you.
Right towards me.
Like some Scud missiles, Matt. What is money? A goddamn commie? He doesn't like proud to be an American? I hope a hobo takes a deuce on the hood of his car.
I love being an American.
Because we can play whatever song.
I hate the song. Proud to be an American. It's an affront.
Communist.
On music. It is an affront. You can play God Bless America. You can play This Land Is Your Land. You can play You're a Grand Old Flag. You're a High Flying Flag. And forever
you're
in peace may she
flag,
wave.
You're a High Flying Flag.
And forever in peace may she wave. You're the emblem of the land I love. The home of the free and the brave. Every heart rings true.
But the red, white, and blue.
Exactly. We can do that. But I don't need some dip-ass in a monster truck and a stupid guitar solo singing a god-awful mid-tempo. Well,
here's somebody's stream of consciousness from the 626.
Yeah.
Let me tell you something, brother. Magdaleno is amazing. Trump 2020. Money in his damn liberal ways.
I don't have liberal ways.
He calls you a bitch right here, Matt.
I am not a bitch liberal.
He called you a bitch. Come on.
Oh, boy.
Oh, here's another one. Tell Mr. Pesos that we love USA.
Ooh. I love the USA. I hate this song. This song is terrible.
We're going to pay you in pesos now.
This song, I actually know where I can redirect those pesos, actually. I love America. This song is terrible. It is terrible.
Look at your TV right now.
Ooh, Isabel says, please bring Ronnie back.
My TV has college basketball on. What are you watching, Magdaleno?
Fox News.
Yes, he's watching Fox News.
No, he's got Fox Nation. Isabel says, please bring Ronnie back. He knows what we like.
Oh, she's banned.
I don't think you
can. I'm not ready to go that far.
You can't ban Isabel.
Right, I'm not ready to go that far.
See her number. I'm not picking it up.
I'm going to ride this Magdaleno thing out for one more day and see if we can figure out a way to coexist
here's
peacefully.
One from Alaska. Magdaleno needs to clone himself so he can F himself.
Yeah. Eskimo brother.
Did you hear the way that guy just said, I feel strong. Come on.
This is better than Proud to Be an American.
You think so? I like Proud to Be an American better than
that. God Bless the USA. Get the name right.
This is God Bless the USA?
The Lee Greenwood. Lee Greenwood.
And this song is called I'm a Real American.
But
this
I like
is
Hogan.
I'm a Real American.
I like Hogan.
You're not a real American if you write this crappy song. You're a goddamn communist.
Oh, Matt. We might have to get Dudikoff on to talk you
might
off the ledge.
To.
We'll be right back with your word number song of the day. We're fighting for the rights of every man on a Crunchy Groove Thursday on the Petros and Money Show.